Hare Krishna, everyone. So we're about to have the final or concluding seminar for Vaisoda Satchananda Maharaj. So Maharaj is going to focus on what we should do now, what we do with the knowledge and with the wonderful insights that Maharaj has given. Specifically, it's very important that everyone can get their writing pens ready, because it will be important to take some notes to make things, make some points down. Maharaj is going to introduce us to a very important practice which will help us within our lives to focus on that which is essential. Okay? And again, we do emphasize this model that's given in the Shastra, which Maharaj mentioned previously, the importance of hearing, thinking deeply about what we've heard, and using it. And that model is actually an ancient system for character transformation and for, you know, basically becoming that which we're learning about. So Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, hearing something, meditating on it to understand it more deeply, and using it. And I was just thinking how when we do that, it actually builds faith. Because when you do something, when you apply something, and you see how it works, it also creates that enthusiasm and conviction that this is something that really makes a tangible and practical difference in our lives. So again, I'm very eager to hear and learn more from Maharaj, but we encourage you to really focus, to concentrate, to note, and to use. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Askachyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So this will be our concluding session where I will introduce you to one more powerful way to help you understand your Dharma. And then I will wrap up what we presented during this weekend and present to you the takeaways. That is the items which I feel you could apply immediately. Srila Prabhupada had introduced us to this practice when he quoted Chanakya Pandit. Chanakya Pandit was a very memorable individual, and believe it or not, he appears in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto. He is that important for Vaishnavas also, that the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, makes mention of him. Why? What is his credit? Well, it so happened that as the Kali Yuga set in, the kings became highly corrupted. And there was one case that one king had risen to power by assassinating the previous one and taking his position instead. That is documented in the Bhagavatam. In other words, there was a ruler who was so greedy for the position that he did not even consider murder no option. He committed murder out of his greed. Obviously, such a person is not qualified to do what a leader of society should do, that is to represent God and the codes of the law to the human society. It became very bad. This king introduced really Kali Yuga practices in his kingdom, and he was very aggressive. He did not honor the brahmanas, and he terrorized people. So there was one brahmana who lived peacefully at the banks of one river, who thought, I cannot tolerate this any longer. And he unloosened his sika, and he made the vow, I will only tie my sika when I have installed a right king, a righteous king, and this king is gone. Now, the sika must be tied. Sometimes the sika goes out of shape, unfortunately, but it is for a Brahmin very important to tie his sika. Shouldn't it be all over the head like Albert Einstein's head? So he made that vow. It was the Brahmin Chanakya Pandit. He singled out, he looked around, he made a talent search, if you so want, and figured one young prince was there. He was righteous, he had a good character, but he was not very practically minded, but he took him into training. And just by training this king, this prince, he made him very knowledgeable about how to rule people. And then he maneuvered, I cannot tell you the details because I don't know it, maneuvered in some way that he put his candidate, the trained prince, into the position where he drove out eventually this bad king of the this bad emperor, and he was at his side. The king's name is Maharaj Chandragupta. So he wrote down, he guided him in everything. He was really the one who ruled. Chanakya Pandit was the one who ruled, but he ruled by his word. He always stayed a brahmana. His king wanted to give him a palace, but he preferred to live at the bank of the river in a simple thatched house. He said, no, I'm a brahmana, I'm following the laws of simple life. And so he would visit the king in his palace and give him the required instructions. So this Chanakya Pandit has some books to his credit, and one is the where he writes down his principles. And one of the principles of Chanakya Pandit is a wise man should live by always keeping death in front of his eyes. It's this, Prabhupada quoted a few shlokas, Chanakya shlokas, but this he quoted very frequently. You should always live in such a way that you understand, I will not be here for eternal times. I better use my time to do what is essential and leave the unessential things behind. For us, it means, practically, it is much better if we live in our Dharma, even if we do not get the highest pay possible, when we have to betray on our principles. Better to live in one's Dharma, even when you do it not yet so perfectly, than to live the Dharma of someone else. Because doing that is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because you have not developed in your life. You have not used the opportunity of self-realization properly. And therefore, you must be reborn to repeat the lessons you have not yet learned here. So, this is how to live properly before you die. Most of you use these little monsters, telephones, touch screen, telephone. And many of this comes from one firm called Apple Computers. The founder of Apple Computer, Steve Jobs, has died. He had contact with devotees. He was a spiritually open man, but also very materially attached to perfection on the material platform. In June 2005, he gave a well-remembered speech at Stanford University, in which he spoke about a method which helped him to make the big choices in life. And I want to read some parts of this speech because it really echoes Chanaka Pandit's maxim that a wise man should live keeping death before his eyes. So this is what he said. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I have ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart. It is not nicely expressed, isn't it? I would say there's no reason not to follow your Dharma. I would correct this, but we should properly quote someone. So, I have seen this in my life very much also. As a 60-year-old, 61 now even, scandal, person, I look back at a life with many, there were many crossroads. The first came when my parents said, you now have to follow. You have to become a manager, the person we want you to become. If you don't do it, we will disinherit you. It was the first, maybe there were others, but for the purpose of this presentation, I'd like to say, I had to say, will I now follow my inner calling? Which in this case translates as Sanatana Dharma, and become a devotee, and then later a spiritual preacher in Krishna consciousness? Or will I say, no, I think I should go for the money? It was a substantial amount. I could have easily bought Buckland Hall, many Buckland Halls. It was substantial. And somehow, I do not know, I think it was Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy on me. I was convinced at that time to follow my heart, or my, in Job's words, my heart, or my calling for my Dharma. And I became like this, like I'm sitting here before you. I've never regretted this decision. Later in Krishna consciousness, I became aware of this little skill from which Prabhupada repeated. You know, in the face of the fact that you have to leave this world, And the only thing that you take with you is, as you take your bad karma with you and so on, your karma at all. But the good thing you can take with you is what you did in your dharma, both here in this world by living dharmically and living ethically, and also the sanatan dharma, the eternal dharma. This is the real value in life. Shouldn't you go for the real value? And in the face of this, my dear devotees, dear skeptics, I always have to address the bird also who listens to these recordings. There may be someone who just listens into this and says, but, have you thought of this? Yeah, I think you have to ask yourself, does this really matter so much? You can say, in 2 weeks, does this really matter so much any longer? You know, you want to be right on something as insignificant as is potato a better vegetable than carrots, you know. In 2 weeks, does this really matter any longer to you or to anyone else, your opinion? Why get so hung up on this? When you look at death and the facts of life that you will have to go, does this really matter so much that you know, the small little things in life which we get so hung up? I think death forces us to really go for the essential things, that which is really important. Not forces us, it leads us to this. I learned this from the king of Puri. I don't know if I have told you that although India is ruled by democracy nowadays, the king of Puri still holds a very important position to the people of Orissa, because he is considered to be the first representative of Jagannath. Like it was in old times, the king is supposed to be a representative of the Lord. That's why he has to really rule according to the codes of the Lord. And someone who didn't do that, he was disempowered by the brahmanas. They would have a check on him. So, I got to know Maharaj Divya Singh Dev when he was on a pleasure trip in Germany and wanted to see the Rhine and the German culture. And he had received from our temples in India the addresses of our temples in Germany. And on his pleasure trip, one day there was a phone call, the king comes and visits you. And I was very, yes, wonderful. I thought he would have a sword made in a golden sheath, you know, with a big turban. And he would have to say, King Ji, address him according to protocol. But he was a modern man. He had studied Jura. Is it called Jura? Law system. Law, he had studied law, you say in English. In Chicago, in the University of Chicago. And we became friends because he wanted to know some statements of the German philosophers. He wanted to get them straight. And I knew some, don't know much, but a little I knew. And so we talked and we became friends. And when I came to India, he invited me to stay in his palace in Puri. It's a small palace, but it is a palace. So next morning, I had a room with attached bathroom, and it was walls full of stuffed animals, lions and tigers, which his ancestors had killed in single combat. You know, the kings had to prove their martial arts by confronting a wild beast, sometimes only with a dagger. We saw this And I had no such good dreams in such atmosphere. But in the morning, I remember there was loud music before my door, and I was chanting, and so I rushed to the door to see this. And what I saw shocked me. He was carried on a stretcher. Where do you transport dead people? Stretcher? On a stretcher. He was, and there was mourning music. People were beating their chests. It can't be possible. We discussed German philosophers the night before. I went into this morning procession, and I discreetly took over and went to the stretcher and looked on the stretcher. There he was. His eyes were closed. He was dead. It was such a shock, because we had developed mutual affection for each other. So I followed, and I was also, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, chanting how quick it goes. Oh no. Then they put him in the middle of his palace garden. There was something like a podest. And I grieved. All of a sudden, he gets up. And when he gets up, all the musicians put their musical instruments aside. They talk to each other. And they disperse and go about their duties. I went to him and said, you just resurrected from the death? What is this? No, he said. I said, I'm doing this little ritual every morning. Can you please explain? Yes, he said. I made notes on this, and then I put it in my Dharma model. See, our time here is limited, he said. At the time I wrote after this, I wrote it down. Let us not waste it by living the life of someone else, even if it should be the life of a king. This little morning ritual helps me to distinguish between what is truly essential and what is unessential. I imagine that I have just died and then look back at my life with two questions. What was my Dharma? And second, have I lived it? Then I connect with my unique Dharma, my purpose, and make a plan for the day how to live my Dharma. Prabhu and my young audience, I can never forget that morning and what he gave to me at that time. It was very, very, very useful for my life. So being the person I am, I would like to give you a meditation how you can bring this method into your life, and then in the face of this, make right decisions. Should we do this? It will be. May I ask Jai Krishna, I'm a little forgetful, can you bring me my Ragini, please? My dear devotees, when Prabhupada said it, when I heard it the first time from Prabhupada, I should keep death before my eyes, I was young like you. I thought, yeah, I will also die, I am. Now I'm alive and well, and I can jump very high in kirtan, and it is very, very much distant from my thought, the thought of death. When someone, you know, at that time, it seemed no one will die in Krishna consciousness. We were surprised when the first Swamis died. Now every year I have to write. Please say the right word. Obituary, is it what you write when someone... What is it?
Obituaries.
Obituaries. Obituaries, do I say it rightly? Yeah, well, it's a little difficult, but this I have to write this. So, because it happens just very, very often. I happen to be an older person and know many devotees, so therefore it is closer. I'm thinking, because you are so young and so much with the illusions of youth, of eternal life, if this is useful, but because Prabhupada said it to his young, immature disciples, I think he must have had some reason. It is an often thing. He said it quite often. You can find out in the internet. So, I will do now an exercise with you, which all of you can do. Like always, I request you to put your writing materials to the side. You might look for a comfortable sitting arrangement. Dhruva, are you situated comfortably? For those of you who feel the pain of sitting is so long on the floor, there are still free seats in the lounge. I'm doing this on purpose, but I can't tell you all my methods. There's a purpose to it. Do we have enough oxygen in the room? I think we have, isn't it? Because we might... No, it's a little less. I can smell the last kirtan in the air. Can we just do it? Just really like... it's for free. It's just... The art is, if you want to air out a room, to just do it... we shall stay there. Stay here. You are our air minister. Have you properly air? Is it? Yeah, I will give you a sign like this when you can please close it and participate in the meditation. But please stay there. How is it with the mothers? They are freezing all of the mothers. We are now coming to the end of the presentations, and I would like to give you one more tool. I don't think it's a tool. I want to give you one more experience, really. This is in my mind, which will help you again to do your Dharma scouting, where you find your place a little bit more. Wherever you are now sitting, kindly relax yourself a little so that we relax ourselves to become more alert of what is at the present, yes? Please take a few deep breaths, and on every exhale, relax parts of your body. Start with your feet, breathe. Bring your attention into the feet and then exhale and relax the feet. Let them go, let them loose. Breathe into the area of your calves and your hips and relax it. Just tell yourself internally, relax. Go to the trunk of your body. That's the area where all your vital organs are. And relax. Go to your shoulders, arms and hands. And on an exhale, relax. bring your attention to your neck and relax the muscles. Now comes your face and your whole head. There are 30,000, imagine 30,000 muscles which manipulate your smiles and your frowns. Relax all this. You're safe in a safe environment. You can be very relaxed now. Tell your mind to stay alert. Tell your mind to listen carefully and enter the images which will be presented before you. But notice first how you are expert in relaxing your body while at the same time staying alert. It's not exactly like what you do when you go to bed in the evening, where you also want your mind to totally relax. No, you want to be focused. Only your body this time relaxes. What is your life like now? Where do you live right now? What kind of people are around you as friends or colleagues or other people at your working place or university place or family place? Is there anything in your life which you feel you should be doing but are not doing at present? Move ahead now to a time which is 10 years from now. What is your life like now? Try to envision the environment in which you live. What kind of people are around you? Are all your friends still with you? Or are some maybe in different countries? Or have become distant? Is there anything you should be doing which you are not yet doing? Move ahead 20 years from now. What is your life like now? In what environment do you live? See the people who live around you. Is there anything you should be doing and are not yet doing in your life? Move ahead now to a time which is 10 days before your departure. 10 days. What is your life like now? You're significantly older. In which environment do you live now? What kind of people live around you? And is there anything you should be doing and are not yet doing? The day has come. It is not as bad as you thought, but you know it will also not be easy. It's the day of your death. You are there lying on a bed. See who is next to you. Maybe you don't recognize the people, but there are people. You're physically weak, but fortunately you're mentally incredibly aware. Now the time of your death has arrived. You feel a gentle force pulling you up and away from your body. You're perfectly safe. You're moving higher and still higher. You're no longer in the house. Look, you can see now the earth in the distance. Its surface is curved. It is surrounded by an atmospheric layer. You look back on your life. Is there anything which comes to mind that you should have been doing and have not done? Where would you be if you had lived an ideal, dynamic life, knowing well that you could not fail? You hear a voice. It tells you that you have a second choice. You will go back. You will go back into your present life. Take time to arrive in your body. Think about the experience a little bit and ask yourself the question, is there anything which I should be doing but which I'm not doing at the moment? Now kindly take your hands, rub them gently together, and put them on your eyes like palming. Then take them gently away from the eyes and look into the lines as if you see them for the first time. When you are ready, briefly turn to your neighbor or friend. Share with them the experience and please discuss the question, what could you concretely do to live more authentically within your dharma? What could you concretely do? Concrete. Oh, it could be in relationship to your Sanatana Dharma, but it could be in your relationship to your Swadharma, what it is that you do here. Please start now. We have little time, so please get to the task immediately. So, Hare Krishna, welcome back in your body. Once I did this in America, and then there was a pause after this. I did it in a Mendla Institute with a mixed audience, congregation, and very much outsiders. And one of them I found was sitting on a rock. It was a Mataji, or near a rock, you know, outside of the seminar place, and just crying. I was going with, was discussing with some participant, and he thought, let us go and maybe we can help her. So, why are you crying? Oh, you just made us die! Why shouldn't I cry? Later, I saw that person who had joined the temple, and she said, although it was discomfortable, but when we met, she was in one of my lectures, I really saw what I was doing at that moment in my life was not really valuable. I have changed, and I have taken a sabbatical. I have lived of one more year in the temple. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. So, I hope it was useful. Sometimes it is not useful, but try to do this again, not in this elaborate way, but when you are coming to a crossroad in your life, where you either follow the money or the fame or the public expectations, or you do something which is really in tune with your inner calling, and then you can remember at that crossroad. Maybe this exercise. Maybe sometimes to reach a goal, we need to sometimes also go, do you know this? It's Rabindra Swarupa who always says this. To reach your goal, you may sometimes have to step a little back. It's like when you are like Tarzan, and you go with a, what are these plants called? The chain down?
Vines.
Vines, yeah. Then you may go back to get some more swing, and then you go forward and you say, Hari Bol. So sometimes in life we do need sometimes to do something which apparently is not in our dharma. Like we may have to take a meaningless job to earn something, to go on a pilgrimage and so on. This is Yukta Vairagya, appropriate dealings in the world. In general, although there are many situations in life where we might just not go be so forthcoming, but be a little bit, you know, reserved, or do something which will help us to reach our goal. But in general, we should find out our Dharma. What I could present here in the short time which we had was not the entire Dharma module, obviously, it's a more lengthy thing, but I did my best to pick things which are relevant for a beginning understanding of this subject matter. There's a good book out, several good books. I read the book of Naveen Krishna Prabhu, The Dharma of Capitalism, it's called. You might find some hints there. There is a very good analysis how you, with the modes and how you navigate, and some good tips how to follow the voice of Dharma, which usually is the voice of conscience. There is an interesting description of the zero rupee note. I have it in my Dharma module. I stole it without asking for permission. I can say it's a zero rupee. So, so on. You might discuss with it, but I want to now present to you what I think in English language is called takeaways. This is things which you can practice. And here comes the time for the note takers to pay one more time firm attention. I will go through this like as if I make bullet points. We talked about the importance of Dharma, and I would like to read to you one one verse. No one should, from Mahabharata, no one should sway from Dharma due to desire, fear, because I'm afraid to live it, or greed. No, I get more money when I get away, leave my Dharma. Not even for saving one's life should Dharma be given up. That is debatable in modern times. It's debatable. Let's not stay with it. For Dharma is eternal. Pain and pleasure, however, are transitory. The living entity never dies, but lives forever. However, its vehicle, the physical body, is not meant to live on. Therefore, live your Dharma, because that will prepare you for eternity. Obviously, the Mahabharata has in mind here the Svadharma plus the Sanatana Dharma. Don't sway from your Dharma. The best way to live your Dharma, this is the next point, is to live by the Dharma Codex. It would be interesting at another time to go more into detail here, but you could research it a little bit. You could discuss it. You can ask your older devotees like Naveen, Uta Bhavana, and the many mentors. Let us just briefly run through the Dharma Codex. What is the first? Truthfulness. Second, discipline. It means when you have found something to be true, just live by it. Be a little disciplined like it. Next point, inner and outer purity. And fourth point, compassion. Why don't you make a little post-it on your exit door? Today I will live according to truthfulness, discipline, inner and outer purity, and compassion. Or if that is if this confuses the matter because it's 4 points, And you are like me. I am a simple man. I cannot do multitasking. I do one thing at a time. Then say, in this week I practice. This is most probably better because then you... It's for sure better. Please do it. Have them posted and then, or whatever reminds you, maybe you have it on your mobile phone, maybe you have it on your computer, whenever the computer goes on, it goes on, then it shows live by the Dharma Codex. Something modern, your modern people, however you remind yourself is up to you. And then live for 1 week truthfulness. Or if you say it, let me better do 1 month. And then the next thing you come to discipline. Okay, now it becomes spring, let me get up a little bit earlier. And let me negotiate 3.5 minutes earlier in 1 week. Then the next week I'm already 7 minutes earlier. Then the next week I'm already 15 minutes earlier. Go out to bed and then I have 15 minutes to chant my rounds. Wow! And this way increase. This is what I do always when spring comes and the day gets longer. I do my alarm clock thing because in the winter I'm an old man. I'm a little bit more inclined to sleep. And so discipline. Practical. Truthfulness. Be practical. How will you live your truthfulness? Maybe you will need to have an important conversation with one person who has an impression of you which is really not you. You were just hiding behind a facade. But when you do such things, always do it pleasantly. Truth. In a relationship, we should talk in a pleasing way, truthful. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Maybe your truthfulness means to be more truthful to yourself. Be yourself more. You know, don't always hide just to get the applause and approving smiles of others. It doesn't mean you should be bad now. You know, let the doctor, Mr. Hyde outside. No. Just be more connected of who you are. In a good way, you know, in a good way. You are good people. You are all good people. Don't worry. You all think you are so bad, but when you ask Akantati and me, we feel almost fatherly symptoms in regards to you because you're so pleasing, young people. So then discipline, and then inner and outer purity. I would recommend take every morning a good shower. Most probably you all do it, but I'm just saying it out of duty. It is good for you, for the whole mental state and cleanliness. But more important, avoid negative emotions, greed, lust, and so on, by putting positive emotions like gratitude, appreciating others, seeing. You are young people and you always talk to me about relationships. See the other person as a soul on his or her way to Krishna. Inner purity. That will help very much. And then, last but not least, do some act of compassion. Compassion sounds like a big word. No one wants compassion. You know, I don't want your compassion. Compassion means, think what is beneficial for the other person. This is a good form of compassion. Really, this is what I consider my biggest takeaway in this seminar. Because it's very practical and you can really live by it. Then I would recommend to you the talent search. May I please ask, I think, Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu, you were helping us with that flip chart thing. And you can maybe find it, please. put it on display that everyone easily can see. It's a very easy practice. It's not very complicated. You make two circles or two lists. One, you see it somewhere there. Maybe you need to turn it a little. Yes, yes. One, what is easy for you. One is what you like doing. And then, wherever there is a concordance of easy and like, isolate these points and then ask your conscience, the inner voice, is that good? Is it beneficial? Is that... And you will hear something. And if you do that consistently over some period, you might go deeper and deeper and deeper and come close to your Dharma. But again, this is an indirect method. It does not yield results for everyone. I have like 7 or 8 methods, like the DISC method. That's a new method which Buddha Bhavana introduced. I thought it was very helpful. But I have many, many like this. I can't teach them in the short time which we had. But this is something very simple, and it helps you also if you get some feedback from others. I have isolated this. What do you think? Does it suit me? Is that my dharmic fingerprint here, which I have isolated, or do you see something else? Feedback helps very much. And I have that's part of the Dharma module, but for that you have your mentorship program and you can discuss that at the points. The more important, what I consider more important, is the super soul. Ask the Dharma maker, ask God, pray to him. And I can guarantee you, my dear devotees, it's a guarantee. If it doesn't work, you can get for me 1,000 pounds. Oh, that's a little bit much. I don't have money. I don't want to promise something which I don't have. No, and also we are not in a business society. It is so bad. But I can guarantee you, if you follow these 4 things, Dharma codex, and you have to practice, like I indicated to you, you will go on the way of Dharma, and the way will show you the goal. It will be, and if you pray to Krishna, the Lord will, who is the Dharma maker, and who is known as Dharma, Lord Dharma, is one of the names of Krishna, will reveal your Dharma to you. This is for starting. Maybe we will have another chance to do all the other things which are just here I've written this in bullet points because there's so much and I didn't want to write 1,500 pages. This for now will help you very much. So what are we to do, Sachinanda Swami, according to your advice? Dharma codex and pray to Lord and get feedback by your mentorship program. That will, on these questions, that will help you. Next time when I come, I will look at you. You did, not all of you did well in the Tree of Life, but I saw already a 10% increase in awareness. Why did I see it? I saw some of you making walks. You had never done this before, especially not when it was cold outside. And it's always cold outside. When I come, I always come at this time, the February. Prabhu assured me that there's an ample sunshine here. But it's cold always in February, obviously. But I saw you walking, some awareness, maybe it was unconscious, but it was there, of the Tree of Life, was there. And you were just a wonderful company to have. I think you you become more and more aware of healing in a social acceptable way. And I saw also your spiritual roots. Your japa seems to go better, at least that's what I hear when I sit and listen carefully to you. So something is going on. You're on your way. Don't forget the tree of life, though. It is something which is always good as a basis of your life. That's all I wanted to say. Now, two things remain. I must make very clear what you have heard is a tiny little bit of the Vedic way. The Vedic way is something I've been working on, and I'm very much enthusiastic to give this. So please stay connected. Soon there will be a web page and you will be able to get good advices for living in Dharma and so on. The other point is our Buddha Bhavana needs to complete this. He is our master of ceremonies. But before you speak Buddha Bhavana, I will embarrass you a little. Buddha Bhavana, I was so grateful for what you did, because you helped me to reach the audience with your well-considered words. And also I like very much how you came alive and you presented the disc exercise and helped me to see where I am and what I should take care of. You are such a wonderful Vaishnava, and I'm really very grateful for your assistance. I request everyone to join their hands for Buddha. I'm learning. So Buddha Bhavana will make a final announcement.
Okay, so thank you very much again to Swami Sachinanda Maharaj for taking us through over the last few days the Dharma Model, the Dharma Codex. In conclusion, we just want to mention or really reinforce the point by Maharaj about application. I think it's wonderful that Maharaj has seen that through the Tree of Life model that we're starting to apply and implement and use that more and experience more of the benefits from that. And I know that in conversation with Maharaj, Maharaj has really gone out of his way to find ways to teach this Dharma module in such a way that we will actually use it. And he spoke to me himself about what's called active learning, which is a way of teaching such that people actually imbibe it and use it and kind of move with that particular system. So I think we do owe it to Maharaj. Normally when a guest speaker comes, we'll say Hari Bol and so on, but I think one of the greatest ways we can repay Maharaj is to actually really apply this.
Yes.
Maharaj told me in confidence, he's been working on this Vedic way for 27 years, and he told me specifically that it's his way of repaying his debt to Srila Prabhupada. So he was explaining how he feels a great debt. For Maharaj himself, he has such a deep attachment to hearing and chanting about Krishna, and to, you know, really absorbing himself in the Vrindavan. But even within that, he's reaching out to us, reaching out to the world to share this Vedic way, to give people a real opportunity to access Krishna consciousness from where they actually are as individuals. So I think that itself deserves a huge round of applause. Very kindly also produced a training letter which he mentioned previously. On the table over this side, just near the reception, there is actually a place to put your name and also your email address so you can receive the training letter. And we stress here that please write your email address very, very clearly, so when we do send the emails out, they actually reach each individual. So I've seen some of your handwriting's a little bit shady. And obviously, the best way to learn anything is to share it. So I know that there are many people who could not be here. I know that every year there's a huge waiting list of people who would like to come to these Bhakti retreats. And, you know, so that's very, very wonderful, because people are more and more realizing the value of this community getting together and learning and growing together. So also please apply and share what you've learned with other people. That's one of the best ways in order to learn something, is to actually share it with someone else, so you're forced to think more deeply about it and to see how it can be used, how it can be more relevant. Okay, so just to reiterate, please put your name on the list for the emails so that, to receive the training letter, and please let us all apply this as a deeper, more mature way of showing our real gratitude to His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj and to Srila Prabhupada, who He has kindly decoded these teachings from. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I am finished.